I'm glad that Caitlin gave us a good overview of Jonah, because it's going to be a bit into my sermon before I read the text for today to you. And so I'll just remind you, as she did, that Jonah, who is finding himself living in the northern kingdom of Israel, hears God tell him to travel both north and east, to go up through Damascus and then turn east and go to Nineveh, which is also known as Sin City, the capital of Assyria, to tell the Assyrians how wicked, wicked they are, and to call them to repent of their ways. Now, Jonah, and everybody knows that the Assyrians are not nice people. They're noted for, among other things, burying their enemies alive up to their necks in sand, and then playing a game of polo with the heads that are sticking up. Ugh, yeah. Not nice people. Evil and disgusting, but you can imagine how effectively they can rule through brutality. These are the people that God invites Jonah to go and visit, to go preach to them about changing their ways, because God always desires to bring about new life from old, broken ways of behavior. So Jonah, instead of going north and then east, runs south and then west. He goes over to Joppa, and he finds the first ship he can buy passage on. He gets on that ship, and he sets off to Tarshish. He's going across the Mediterranean. He is going as far as he possibly can from the capital of Assyria. But there's a little problem, because Jonah discovers that even out there, even out in the middle of the Mediterranean, that God is still in charge. And so then what happens? We know this story pretty well. God sends an enormous storm, right? It is such a strong storm that the sailors on the ship do start getting rid of their ballast. They start throwing overboard all the cargo that they intend to make money on when they land on shore, because they hope if they lighten up the ship, they might be able to ride out the storm. And in the midst of all this noise and confusion that's going on, the captain goes down and searches below in the ship, and he finds Jonah asleep. Can you imagine? Jonah's sleeping through all this chaos, and he gets him up and he drags him up on deck, because another thing everyone is doing is praying to each of their own gods, because they figure if they pray to every god that is possibly known, maybe one of them will kick in, maybe two, and save them all. But the prayers aren't working. So then the sailors roll some dice, and the dice stop. They stop at Jonah. That's how they find out who the gods are angry with, and they ask him what he did. And he goes, oh yeah. He said, when I jumped onto your ship and took passage, I did that because I'm running away from the God who made the heavens and the earth and the seas that we're riding on. And the men all start shrieking, and they cannot believe that they have put them in, that he has put them in such danger that the wrath of Jonah's God is now going to destroy all of them on ship. So they say, how do we fix the problem? And he says, just sacrifice me. Throw me overboard. That should take care of the problem. And they don't want to do that. At first, they start trying to row the ship back to the shore. And when that doesn't work, they go ahead and they pick Jonah up by his hands and his feet, and they take him and they swing him overboard. Bam! He hits the water, and we remember what happens, right? The storm stops. The sea goes dead calm, the waves cease in that moment that Jonah's body hits the water. That made believers out of everybody on the boat. That they're now messing indeed with the God who makes the heavens, the earth, and the seas. Meanwhile, Jonah's underwater, right? He's tumbling down through the water. He's headed towards Sheol. And after he is tumbling and probably running out of air, he begins to pray. And so God sends a giant fish to swallow him up. And Jonah sits inside that fish for 3 days. And begins to pray even more. You can go home and read this, read chapter 2. But I'll remind you of what that prayer says. Jonah says, yes, sir, God, you are hot stuff. You are great. Well, I was drowning, and you heard my dying wish. You heard my dying wish, my thought. Shucks. Now I'm never going to get to go to church again. I don't know if that would be my dying wish or dying thought if I were drowning, but Jonah passes this off to God. And so then you sent this giant fish to pick me up, and I really appreciate it. And you know what? If you could just give me a ride back to dry land, I'd appreciate it anymore, because then I can get out and I can run to the temple and worship you and give you thanks for saving me. Then God spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out on the dry land. Defining moments. Moments of choice. See, Jonah runs 180 degrees away from what it is God tells him to do. The sailors have to choose to follow Jonah's instructions and pick him up and throw him overboard in order to save their own lives. Defining moments. Moments of choice. Moments when we decide to join God, who always desires to bring about new life from old, broken ways. And so we come now to the portion of the text we're going to read directly out of Jonah, found in the 3rd chapter. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk. And he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Then he had a proclamation made in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, no human being or animal, no herd or flock shall taste anything. They shall not feed, nor shall they drink water. Human beings and animals shall be covered with sackcloth, and they shall cry mightily to God. All shall turn from their evil ways and from the violence that is in their hands. Who knows? God may relent and change his mind. He may turn from his fierce anger so that we do not perish. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. So when the word of the Lord comes to Jonah a second time, Jonah does what he should have done in the first place. And he goes off to Nineveh. He walks barely inside the gates, begins preaching, and the conversion is instantaneous. Everyone puts on sackcloth in the whole town, even the cows, as they tell God how sorry they are for the way they have been living. And then we remember Jonah's response, don't we? When Jonah sees that everyone, including the animals, have repented, he stomps off up into the hills. He sits down in broad daylight under that blaring sun of the desert and sulks. He sits and sulks out under the sun. God, isn't this what I told you would happen? before I even left home the first time. I knew you were the God of gods, and it was just going to be a complete waste of my time to come over here and preach to these awful people. Because you know what's wrong with you? You're the kind of God that would just go and have mercy on people. Huh. If they did decide to listen to what I had to say. So you might as well kill me now. Because I don't want to live anymore. No response from God other than to make a bush grow up and shade Jonah so he doesn't get a terrible sunburn while he's pouting. And when Jonah persists in his sulk, then in the night, God sends a worm to chew through the stem of that plant so that when Jonah wakes up, he once more is sitting out in the full glare of the sun. Jonah immediately throws another fit and again asks for God to kill him. Kill me now. Jonah, 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 you know I don't work that way. That plant grew up in one day and it disappeared the next. You did not make it grow, and yet you feel sorry for it. How much more then should I have pity for all the people and animals of Nineveh than you have for this plant? Defining moments. Defining moments, moments of choice. Jonah chooses to follow God's instructions the second time around. The Ninevites choose to hear the word of the Lord to them and repent of their evil. God chooses to change God's very mind and to show mercy on a people who do not know how to show mercy themselves. Moments when we decide to join God, who always desires to bring about new life from old broken ways. Sometimes I think that our defining moments, moments of choice come when, like Jonah, we can no longer run. We can no longer hide. And then we turn and we pay attention to that urgent voice of God that's within each of us. And it becomes impossible. It becomes impossible to silence that voice. And we find ourselves then making choices that our brains find dozens of reasons to vote against. Defining moments. Moments of choice. You know, I think this is a moment we're facing right now at UPC. The session on Tuesday night voted to establish a mission study task force, which we're going to put in place so we can do that deep work that we need to do now of self-study, our mission study, and ask ourselves defining questions over these next months. Who are we? What is it that God is calling us to do and be? We will ask, are we like Jonah? Are we running away from responsibilities that God wishes us to take up? Now, it's not my sense of who we are that it's going to take a mighty storm to get our attention here. I think we're pretty savvy. But we do need to pay special attention to God this year. The greatest asset of this congregation is sitting right here. The greatest asset in this congregation is you, assembled as a people of God in this place. Greatest asset. We also happen to have a great physical plant, enthusiastic staff. I even like the Pastor Emeritus. Hey, yeah, yeah. We have visitors in church every week. We are constantly receiving new members. We took in 18 families through UPC Discovery last year. Do you know that? And we do have some money in the bank. And in June, we're already going to be entering into our 15th year in United Ministry together with each other. So in all this that we're going to be doing, looking at who we are, I'm going to suggest that God probably has a Nineveh waiting in all of this for us as well, a place where we need to go, and that we'll find it. Perhaps it's something that right now makes us reluctant or feels so big, we're afraid to undertake it. Yet if we listen to God's voice, by this time next year, 1 week out from the annual meeting, we will find ourselves so passionate about the new ways we're committed to flourish. We'll already be moving from strength to strength. And in the wisdom of hindsight, we're even going to be able to look back over the ways we've come this year and give thanks. There may be moments ahead this year where we're going to feel more like Jonah, wanting to take a different direction, or even to start whining. But God is never going to give up on nudging us. We'll keep on saying to us, get up, go, proclaim the message. Defining moments, moments of choice, moments when we decide to join God, who always desires, always desires to bring about new life from old broken ways. I can hardly wait. How about you? Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Amen.